Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Wales have won the Grand Slam. A humiliating afternoon for Ireland in Cardiff. Wales have won the game by 26 points to 7. Ireland avoided a first five Six Nations whitewash in 38 years with a final play of the game try from Jordan Larmour. But this was a victory that was long since sealed for Wales. They have ripped Ireland to pieces, and Wales have won a third Grand Slam of the Warren Gatland era, equaling the amount of Ireland Grand Slams Ireland have won in her entire history. Whew, that was a bad day at the office.
Yeah, it was a tough watch, to be fair. I thought, as I said at half time, I thought it was going to be a belter of a game when they scored so early, and Ireland, when Johnny put in that cross field to Stockdale, I was like, right, this is going to be a home dinger. And literally, that was it. That was as much as we got. We had a sustained period of pressure before Jordan Lamar got his try, and we were probably in the 22 for 3 or 4 minutes. Lack of kind of ideas and kind of Ireland's thought process of, you know, getting up around the corner in the 22, building tempo, getting around the corner. They were low on energy. The only two people that really had the energy were Dave Kilcoyne and Jack Conan, who had some energy at one stage. You saw Dave Kilcoyne came around the corner and he's actually trying to drag lads with them. They're all the wrong side of the ball. It was an inaccurate display, and I know we weren't probably on the right side of the referee, but that was probably down to our own ill discipline and decision making at ruck time. We got really, really, you know, we got penalised in that area.
Let's go to the Millennium Stadium, because Andy Dunn made the trip to Cardiff. Andy, is humiliating going too far for what's happened to Ireland today?
No, I think they'll feel humiliated going off the field in terms of the manner of the defeat, very similar to the manner in which we lost to England. They're great fellas, the Irish lads. They're brave to a fault. They didn't run out the gate in terms of not showing an effort or courage. I just think they look to me like a group that is punch drunk in terms of what's being asked of them. I think they have a far too restrictive game plan that is too, it demands too much. There are too much rooks, I've said it for quite a long period of time, and there's a shelf life in terms of success of playing that way. And it seems all the international coaches, certainly those in the Six Nations, went away and analysed what we did in 2018 and worked out pretty quickly that if you match us physically, we don't have a lot else in the locker in terms of our plan. And once we've been matched physically in the England game and in the Wales game, we've been unmercifully hammered on both days, because we don't, these are great players that are not being given enough scope to be creative. And that's the same in any walk of life, in any business. If you've got high level management that aren't allowed to be creative and express themselves, it doesn't work. And at the moment, it's a group that looks completely deflated, punch drunk and tired, trying to work a game plan that is asking too much of them physically. That's my view, and I think Joe needs to lighten it up a bit. I think he needs to take the shackles off and allow them to be a bit more creative and expressive, have a less labour intensive game, and that way we can be successful, and we can be successful in a sustainable way. I think on reflection, that 2018 season was built on, you know, belligerent physicality with some moments of creativity, and we were able to overpower teams physically in 2018, which facilitated creativity. Now that the teams are matching us physically, we don't seem to have that option of creativity anymore, and it's grim viewing. It's hard to watch great players humiliated walking off the field with their heads down, kind of bruised and battered. And I think we need to absolutely review the style with which we play and the style with which Joe is coaching us. He coached the Leinster side with great success playing a different type of rugby, and he's capable of doing it. I think he needs to go back and look at himself and say, what can he do to change? Because if he persists with this plan, it ain't going to work in the World Cup.
There's a lot of noise around you at the Millennium Stadium. Wales have won the Grand Slam. Warren Gatland has got a big old smile on his face, and a well-deserved smile as well. What are you seeing in front of you?
Well, I mean, a sea of red, a lot of Warren Gatland on the big screen. Like you said, a smile from ear to ear. That guy has now won three Grand Slams as a coach, which is quite incredible as an achievement. it's a momentous day for Welsh rugby, and they looked incredibly impressive throughout the game. And I think even watching their defence at the end at 25-0, they held us out for the best part of 5-6 minutes, and eventually we squeezed in for consolation. But the intensity they showed when they knew they were crowned as Grand Slam winners, they still fought and showed a real hunger to try and keep a clean sheet, which obviously they failed to do at the very, very last minute. But that was slightly worrying too, looking at a World Cup, that level of hunger when they were 25-0 up. But yeah, it's a huge Welsh celebration here.
Wales obviously made the dream start, got the first try inside 90 seconds thanks to Hadley Parks, and then he made a brilliant try-saving tackle within the opening 10 minutes to deny Jacob Stockdale. And so all that early momentum was with Wales. At any stage in that game, did you sense that the Irish players came together and felt that they could get themselves back into the match? Because it just felt as though Wales were able to keep that scoreboard ticking over and sort of strangled Ireland to death.
I think there were one or two pivotal moments in our play in terms of how constructive we were, or the lack of. But we were initially took a few opportunistic moments. Johnny Sexton had a very smart crossfield kick from a penalty. He kind of turned on a sixpence and kicked it to the far side of the field when everyone expected it to go to touch. Stockdale caught it and looked like he was going to score a chin, but Hadley Parks, who I thought had no pace, certainly proved me wrong and chased him down. That to me was a kind of a pivotal moment for us in the game. I think the score was 7-0 at that stage, possibly 10-0, but would have brought us right back in. We also had a scrum in the opposition 22 in a brilliant position to launch one of our set piece plays. And Stander took a quick tap from a free kick. The scrum collapsed, we were given a free kick, and Stander knocked on. Those were two key moments in the first half where momentum may have shifted. After that, at no point in time did I see any willingness to do something different. There was, unfortunately, one-out runners being sent into a red brick wall defence repeatedly. And it was cruel. It was like it was watching brave players running in, doing the same thing again and again, and getting the same results. And a bunch of guys who walked off the field looking pretty battered and bruised. It was hard to watch.
Are we back to the same fallout as from the England game and maybe the Italy performance? And that also, when you're talking about guys just running into a red brick wall there, what about the out-half partnership and the players who can maybe change things up? Johnny Sexton's performance is going to come in for a lot of scrutiny, I'd imagine, over the coming weeks, because it's hard to remember him having a worse day in a green jersey.
Yeah, he had. But I would actually... I'd nearly absolve all the players at this stage of blame. I think the coaching staff are far too oppressive and they're far too dictatorial about the style of play which we are being demanded to play in week in, week out. And when we have an off day like we did against Italy, all the language that came out of the camp was we need to tighten up. When England lost to Wales, all the language that came out of their camp was we need to lighten up. We need to get our attack coach, Scott Wisemantle, involved more. We need players to make brave decisions, to be creative, to take on risk. And England have gone and done that and showed that they can play in different ways. We've actually come back out of a poor day against England, a poor performance against Italy, and said we need to tighten up. We can't tighten up any further. We've tightened up to a degree that we've 130 plus rucks per match, and every international side knows it. And once they physically match us, we get battered and battered and battered and have no answer. And it's really, really difficult to watch brilliant players like Sexton have such an off day. And it seems to me that there's no scope for these guys to change what and do something off the cuff on the field. Great teams like Fergie's teams with United, they lasted 20 years because Fergie didn't know what they were going to do at every single point and every moment on the field. And Schmidt seems to want to control 12 to 15 phases from the stand at all times. And he needs to reverse out of that fast, or he needs to give Andy Farrell a bit more input, or he needs to give Richie Murphy more input, and he needs to give his players more creative scope.
But it's not as though Joe Schmidt doesn't have that within his locker, because as you said, when you think back to the Leinster side, it was one of the best attacking teams we've ever seen play club rugby in the Northern Hemisphere.
I think he has it within his wherewithal to change, and he certainly has coach sides to play a much, much more creative brand of rugby. I think he got success last year by tightening up generally, and I know we did have some great moments and we scored some creative tries, but the overarching theme for 12 to 18 months has been a possession game, a one-out winning physical collisions type game, and 130 plus rucks on average in every single international. And that has come to pass as a tactic that doesn't work anymore. So he needs to reverse out of it, as opposed to persisting and saying we'll tighten up and our execution levels at this type of game need to be better. It's not the execution levels. The players, if you look at that game today live and watch great players like that looking so poor, there's something else going on underneath it. They either don't believe in that game plan themselves anymore, they're too knackered to perform it at a successful regular level, or they just need to be freed up a little. And I think it's option three.
I think for me, there is scope to be creative within his system. Remember, like, the thing about coaching is everyone has a coaching process and a coaching theory that they themselves believe in. I think Joe Smith has probably, for me, what I've been most disappointed about is actually Ireland's first three or four phases of set piece. And I think that is where Joe Smith gets his go forward ball there, which put the defence on their back foot. So you can go into your defence, you can go into your multi phase and be really aggressive and ball carrying, being very comfortable for holding the ball for long periods of time. The big issue for me is over the last 6 or 7 weeks is we haven't seen that creativity. We saw it once today where they put three phases together. They did a double hit and then they came back blind and they had a wraparound, and Keith Earls end up making, you know, 20, 25, 30 yards there in that set phase, and then we get into our multi-phase game. But there's been a lack of that for me over the last five games, which I think has been the issue. That's where the creativity within Joe's system has always come for the last 8-9 years since he's been a coach in Ireland, and I think that is what is lacking for that. And to be fair, I think the players have to take some responsibility there, because we haven't been accurate at set piece. How can you build those? How can you be creative when you've got no set piece ball? I think we lost our line out, we've lost our scrum ball, and we've been on the back foot on our first phase, which then doesn't allow us to be creative in those first two or four phases.
Does that feed into to what Andy's been saying? And in fairness, Andy's been very consistent about this, which isn't easy when Ireland are winning Grand Slams and beating the All Blacks, about the physicality.
Yeah.
Is it harder to be more consistent in the set piece and be creative when you're shattered physically because of the physicality of your game plan in the rest of the match?
I don't think it's a physical issue. I totally disagree.
It looks to me.
But you've got one of the best S&C guys in the world in Jason Cowman there, monitoring their lows, monitoring their levels. I don't think they're overtrained. I think they're inaccurate based on. I'm not giving them a cop out, but I think they're inaccurate because, and it's shown at line out time, which is our biggest launch pad. We're inaccurate.
If you run into a brick wall 140 times, see how creative and accurate you're going to be next week.
Yeah, but I think I think whether you get your movement right or make the wrong calls in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game, when you're fresh, I don't think that's.
I don't know. I understand that there's an execution of set piece that's expected at international level, but there's a malaise in our play that is to me, it bears witness to the fact that they're not functional on the level they need to be, because they're punch drunk, because they are physically on the wrong end of 12 to 18 months of this. And when it's bought great success, it's not sustainable to play that way all the time and remain successful.
But they're the most looked after players in the world. They play the least amount of games on the field
with 130 rucks per match, or 140 at times and more. They're well looked after off the field, but if you look at all the other international sides who are winning games with 60 less rucks per match, they're more well looked after on the field. though. I mean, you can rob people in cotton wool off the field, but if you ask them to do something that strains every fabric of their physical being on a weekly basis, at some point you can't sustain it. And
but they only play a max of 5 games in 8 weeks, a max of five, possibly in, you know, they never play. Irish internationals very rarely play more than 3 games in a row in 3 weeks in succession.
There's an awful lot of background noise, Andy. What we might do actually is, because it's a really interesting conversation and I want to come back to it, is you might stick with us for a couple of minutes and we'll let the celebrations just wind down a little bit at a packed Millennium Stadium where Wales have just lifted the Six Nations title. They're Grand Slam winners. They have battered Ireland by 25-7 in Cardiff.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Welcome back to Saturday's Off the Ball. Ireland humiliated in Cardiff. Wales are the Grand Slam champions, 25-7 the final score. Jordan Larmour with Ireland's only try of the game, deep, deep into injury time at the end of the match. Wales comfortable winners, and they win a third Grand Slam of the Warren Gatland era. We're streaming live on our social channels. If you have any reaction, any thoughts on where it's gone so badly wrong for Ireland in this Six Nations, do text in on 53106. You can tweet us on at Off the Ball, or you can leave a comment. Joe Schmidt has just been speaking to Virgin Media Sport. We'll hopefully hear from him in his press conference before we go off air at 6 o'clock, talking about the line-out being squeezed, not being able to get good quality ball back to the out halves or to the backs, but still says very proud of what he's achieved over the last 6 years in the Six Nations. This is final Six Nations game, 3 titles, 1 Grand Slam, and that he's not going to question his players. Johnny Murphy is in studio. Andy Dunn is on the line as well from the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff. Andy, yeah, it's quietening down a little bit there, I think, now. The celebrations, they're winding down, aren't they? They're looking ahead to the World Cup already, Wales? Nah. Andy's not there just yet. He's been temporarily silenced. But Johnny Murphy is with me in studio. We'll let yourself and Andy go at it again about why Ireland looked so flat during this tournament. We might talk about some of the individual performances, and well, even individually as a Six Nations as a whole, who at the end of this Six Nations can Joe Schmidt put his trust in that he wouldn't have been sure he could put his trust in at the start of this Six Nations?
Someone like Dave Kilcoyne, Jack Conan, they've been impressive when they've played. You know, I think someone like you know, CJ to come back from the injury and, you know, to give the energy that he does. You know, he is one of these guys that just gets up and keeps getting up around the corner, I think Jack Carty has done really well when he came on, kind of out of the blue. Probably not someone that that he will look to be first choice, but someone who you would have said at the start of the season wouldn't have been in contention for that third 10 World Cup spot. Has possibly put himself in the reckoning there. Yeah, you know, there's, I suppose, that's probably it, really. Keith Earls, obviously, consistently, he keeps doing what he's doing. You know, surprisingly, Jacob Sockdale's had a quiet, I suppose.
A levelling off,
yeah. And I think, you know, there are probably going to be question marks over Sean O'Brien, unfortunately.
Well, let's talk about Sean O'Brien then, because he was one of the victims of the poor performance in the win against Italy, dropped for the game against France. Another injury for Van der Fleer means O'Brien gets another opportunity to stake a claim. He was the first man off today, 10 minutes into the second half. It seemed, from even what Joe Schmidt was saying, Josh Navidi was dominating the breakdown, that the Welsh very much on top there.
And I think that's a collective. That's not just Sean's. That's not just Sean's issue. But when you take someone off, that's, you know, probably the person that comes back in who's been changed is probably first on the firing line there. You know, I think Sean just needs a long string of games. You know, get back to Leinster, put his head down and come forward. He's certainly going to be in recognition. I don't think there's going to be someone.
The problem there is get a long string of games.
Yeah, but he's fit enough now, and he has a level of fitness that you would hope that he can put that together. And go for it. There'll be no one that'll be more eager than him, given what's ahead of him heading to London Irish next year. In reality, this is his probably song with Ireland if rules are adhered to going forward. So yeah, it's a big couple of months for him to put himself in on that flight to Japan, and you would back him in those circumstances.
We touched on a pre-game. It does probably feel though that with the performance today, that Josh van der Veer has probably leapfrogged him in that number seven position.
Yeah, I personally think someone like Dan Levy has been massively missed over the last number of weeks. I think he is under the radar in terms of his performances, and probably doesn't get applauded enough for what he's done over the last 18 months to 2 years with Ireland and with Leinster. And I think, you know, he is someone that is vitally important to the whole dynamic of the back row and what he gives you going forward and defensively. And I think we've really missed him.
Let's chat. Bring in Andy Dunn, who is now with us from the Millennium Stadium, where it is calming down a little bit as the Welsh head out onto Mary Street, where I'd imagine it's going to be quite a night in Cardiff as they celebrate their Grand Slam. Andy, we're just chatting about maybe some of the more individual aspects of the performance, and Sean O'Brien, somebody who was offered up a second chance today and a big opportunity and was taken off 10 minutes into the second half there in the stadium. What were your thoughts on his performance?
He didn't get much opportunity to roam free. There's an old phrase for open sides that used to be called tearaways. Their role was to roam free, be disruptive at rucks, but certainly to run support lines, for example, to receive an offload from a centre, to make a line break. Faced with a brick wall, which is consistently what most Irish forwards have been faced with, he was underwhelming. But I just don't believe he could have done anything better or different other than run into what was in front of him. That kind of malaise that is underlying in our play, I'd be very, very reluctant to single out Sexton or O'Brien or Murray or O'Mahony or Ringrose, all senior players who had an off day. I just think collectively we need to use the width of the field more. We need to use the space that's in behind rush defences. We need to allow players to offload in tackles, which causes unstructured, unpredictable rugby. Once that happens, the likes of Sean O'Brien, Johnny Sexton, Conor Murray will thrive.
But Andy, that's only one part of the game. Like some of what we saw today,
Johnny,
individually. Johnny Sexton kicked the ball out in the full from kickoff.
Johnny, or is that Nathan or Johnny?
Nathan.
Nathan, sorry. Johnny Sexton kicking the ball out on the full is a mistake. I absolutely concede that. And there were multiple mistakes. But what it doesn't, these are all indicative of what is underlying that is wrong in our game. If you ask a front row forward to hit 25 rucks, 30 rucks as an individual per match and make 27 tackles, he's going to struggle at scrum time. There's going to be knock-on effects down through the group. If we lose possession in contact as forwards because we become tired and punch drunk, Johnny Sexton gets poor quality of ball. And if he gets slow, predictable ball with an on-rushing defence, he becomes far more likely to kick the ball into touch when he doesn't have other options either side of him. He becomes far more likely to make a mistake. The players are massively underperforming for the ability that they have, and that's not squarely to do with the players. That's to do with the plan which they're trying to implement, which looks to me, watching the game live, that they're beginning to lose belief in it as a viable system, because they're losing contacts and they're losing physical battles left, right and centre, and it looks to me like they're just physically tired and sick of doing that and playing that same way. Our response to, I'm repeating myself, I said the response to the Italian game, which was, you know, wrought with mistakes, was to tighten up further. And that was all they were all the sound bites that were coming out of the camp. We need to go back and, you know, reduce our mistake count. I don't think there's any creative flow or empowerment to what are great players. Johnny Sexton was the World Rugby Player of the Year last year. He didn't become a bad player last night. He's still a world-class player, and he's still a world-class operator. He was a great leader within the group. But I can guarantee if he was given a bit more freedom on the field and he wasn't trying to implement 5-6 phases in advance where everyone knows where they're meant to be, I bet you he wouldn't kick the ball out on the floor.
The thing is with that, though, Dunner, is that from minute one in the England game, they were inaccurate at set piece and they were inaccurate in multi-phase. So regardless of the way you're going to play or your train of thought, that is an issue from minute one. And then they get completely beaten up and there's basically a full court press going at them all the time, so they could build no momentum in it. And this is Joe Smith revolutionised the breakdown in Irish rugby by bringing in what are called barrels, left and right. Every team now does it. And every Irish team does it. It's a really important part to the clarity and to the contest that is the breakdown. That they're losing those collisions because they're not getting anyone on the back foot. And not getting anyone on the back foot, for me, comes from the lack of creativity on your first three or four phases. That's what his strength as a coach is. So what's Warren Gatland's strength? Warren Gatland's strength as a coach is actually to play a style of rugby that is quite similar to Ireland. It's get up, go around the corner, get up, go around the corner, get up, go around the corner. And then they have this Welsh flair where they can do things because that's inbred in what they are as a rugby nation. Back to the 50s, 60s, 70s, where they're throwing balls all over the place. But that is not, Ireland as a sense don't necessarily have a style. We don't play a certain way historically. We now play a Joe Smith way, which is very clear that you know where you are going to go for your first three phases. And if you do your role correctly, you will make gain line, or you will either score. And that's where you have the defence on the first on the back foot, but their inaccuracies at first phase mean they got no go forward ball at all, and then that just seeps through their whole performance.
But in a way, are you both saying something similar then?
No,
in a slightly,
I'm saying fundamentally different. I'm the opposite end of the spectrum. But I want to be absolutely clear about it. I think we need to stop celebrating Joe Schmidt's.
I haven't celebrated anything about Joe Smith.
He's a master at the breakdown.
He has revolutionised the breakdown.
But that's what I'm saying. Are you actually saying something?
The issue. Well, we have too many breakdowns. We need to stop celebrating the fact that we're great at the breakdown. The breakdown means our play is broken down. And our play breaks down more than everyone else. We have 130 rucks per match. If we keep breaking down, it's not great that we can restart our play and set up another breakdown. So he's a master at making sure we hold on to possession.
I'm also going to be clear here. I am not saying that Joe Smith is, that what he's doing is, I am giving him credit for what he has done, and that is revolutionised the breakdown in Irish rugby, because he has made that difference. And the way that all Irish teams compete and ruck has completely changed since he arrived in 2010. Outside, what I'm saying about Joe, his strength, I'm not saying it's good or bad or his style, his strength is those first 3 to 5 phases where everyone knows exactly what they do and how accurate they are. We haven't done that this year in the Six Nations. Last year we beat New Zealand because we held ball for very long periods of time. We were on the edge physically, but we also pulled out a moment of magic that came from the training ground. We haven't seen any of that in the Six Nations. We saw it once in Scotland.
It hasn't been allowed.
Well, we did. We saw it in Scotland. So they're practicing it, but they're inaccurate. The players are being inaccurate off launches that's not allowing them to do those phases.
Well, I don't know. If you get punched in the face 100 times, see how accurate you are. I mean, it comes back and around in circles. It's very, very hard to sustain accuracy when you have to do the same thing again and again and again, and it's really physically demanding. I think that's where we're different, Johnny. I understand your point that Joe has made a massive contribution, and I think he has scope to continue to make a massive contribution. I'm just thinking he needs to take the shackles off his group. He needs to empower them a little more. He needs to concede control of every facet of her play, because it's not working. And ask the great people who work with him and who work under him to come up with some solutions themselves on the field, because they're more than capable of it. He does not need to dictate every single facet of play in order for us to be successful.
Where I'm suggesting that maybe there's similarities to what you're saying.
I completely agree, Andy,
you're saying that 12 months ago we were this big physical team that ground teams down, that had these 140 rucks, that basically the opposition were tired and we were able to take advantage.
And
but
creativity
also
can happen when you've got momentum and physical.
But now teams at this level, and certainly it'll be the case during knockout games in a World Cup, are always going to match you physically.
Yeah.
So they've caught up there. And what you're saying is Joe Schmidt revolutionised the breakdown, but now every team does it. So they've caught up at that stage, that we haven't been able to evolve our game over the last year. We're the exact same as we were 12 months ago.
A big thing for me is that we don't play a lot off 10. We generally don't.
Why?
And I don't know. It's just a system thing. And when we do try and play off 10, when Jack Carty came on, we tried to play off 10 by a ball going out the back and then another ball going back out the back in green zone, which is actually only two passes. And if there's so much space out to width, two passes, anyone knows, you beat them in a race to the corner, because it's so, you only have to be quicker than someone over 5 metres. But we couldn't do that today. And like, that's two passes. But I'm not sure that that's practiced. I don't know. I haven't been to sessions. But like, we were actually during the autumn, we played off 10. And what we did do when we played off 10 was actually we hit second man and we pulled out the back of that, which not very many teams do. But we were accurate in that. And that gives you, you're attacking more to space then, and you can then attack both sides of the ball. At the moment, we're not able to attack both sides of the ball because we're around the corner. In a pod of three, we're around the corner. And especially in green zone, we're very much based on a killer ethos, which is hold the ball for 3 minutes or 4 minutes and we'll beat them up. Get around the corner. We're not even trying to race
green zone
into
is
a
that middle
line.
Section
Sorry,
of the pitch?
Green zone is the try line to 22.
Okay.
We're not even trying to race teams to a corner anymore. You know, which is what we used to do was, right, get around the corner forwards, get around the corner, and then when we have them tight, we'll race them to a touchline or we'll come back down blind. We don't even do that anymore.
Yeah, so Sexton and Murray will come in for a lot of scrutiny in particular. Yeah. And Andy, Conor Murray obviously hasn't hit the heights of the last year or so, but still, we came into this tournament thinking we had arguably the best scrum half in the world. Has he become also one of the most predictable scrum halves in the world?
I think as a byproduct of our plan being the most predictable plan in the world, he's become predictable. And I think the box kick was overused. I think opposition back rows were primed to disrupt, and the ruck to disrupt him, to dive low at his feet. They've put players in the backfield to foil the kick. And I think there was a huge amount of pressure put on him to continue with a tactic that wasn't working, and in a bid to say our execution is poor, as opposed to the tactic isn't working, let's try a different one. And as soon as we abandoned that tactic in the French game, Conor Murray looked a bit more like himself again. So I think in all sports, there is great strategy. In chess, there is strategy as much as there is in rugby. And right now, the strategy which brought us great success and deserved success and brilliant moments all throughout 2018 has been found out, analysed to the hilt and overturned. And Joe is a coach, I would hope, who can go away and say, can I do something differently as a head coach? And he has coached sides to play wonderful creative rugby in this stadium where I'm standing now, thankfully, quietly. Down in that field, we'll all remember that Leinster comeback. They didn't come back against Northampton by playing overly controlled, predictable, multi-phase rugby. They did it by playing creative rugby. And he has it within his toolbox to empower players. But for whatever reason, perhaps it's the pressure from the IRFU where they always put pressure on the Irish coach to win the next game. The Six Nations is the most important part of the year. Perhaps he needs to be given a bit more freedom from the IRFU.
Well, it's too late for that now.
It's never too late. I mean, if you look at these players and the quality with which they have and the multiple coaches they've played under and different styles and different teams they've played with, they're versatile enough to make subtle changes in our game. And if you looked from a height down on the field today, at times there's an old rugby phrase that unfortunately we have to kind of drag up. You could have thrown a blanket over most of the Irish team, how narrow we were. You've got a 70 metre wide field. If you fill that field, you've 6 metres on average. If you allow for four in a ruck, you've on average about 6 metres between each man, and the opposition defence either marks that man for man, at which point that means there's space between the defenders, or they mark narrow, and if our passing is good enough, we go around, or we chip over, or we kick the corner, or we add in variation into our game. But as long as we remain narrow, and as long as Johnny said, we continue to play off nine and have forwards that run around the corner, as long as every team who's now analysing us knows that's what we're bringing to the table, we're going to have 25-0, 25-7 horror shows. It's not a massive change for guys of the competence level we have in our group. We are not a bad squad of players. We're close to sensational at times, but not playing this way. And that's where I think there needs to be just a key change, whether Joe sits down with Andy Farrell, Richie Murphy, four or five of the senior guys, and says, do I need to loosen the shackles a bit here? Do I need to concede some control on multi-phase rugby and let you guys go out on the field and not know precisely what you're trying to do? That's a difficult thing to do in management at any level, but it's about trusting players to be creative and make choices on the field. And if we're in any doubt that that doesn't work, we ought to look at the best team in the world who do it every single week. Because it's not like saying that doesn't work. The All Blacks do not have a pre-planned 5 to 10 phase game plan, and they're the best team in the world. So if we're looking for comparisons, there it is.
Yeah, but they have a very clear way and a clear structure of how they play. You know, like I've said it on here before, I was with you actually. Like, one of Aaron Major's biggest things that he learned from the All Blacks, and I would have spent a lot of time with him when I played with him Leicester, was that clarity creates freedom. So you know what you're supposed to be doing, then you have the freedom to play. And that is backed from the top of the pyramid the whole way down. So as long as you can justify what you're doing and why you're doing it,
of course,
then
yeah,
it's then, okay, that's fine, I understand you did that. But it's when it's that decision making process that you need to be able to make, you know, make those decisions, and first of all see it and then make those correct decisions. So it is a fine balance, because you don't want to create a sense of, you know, you don't want a sense of anarchy either, because that can create chaos. So there is that fine balance between
But there's no way on Joe Schmidt's side there's ever going to be anarchy on the pitch.
No. But there is also, you know, an openness to and a willingness to change, which I'm sure there is there, and I'm sure they have. There, you know, I think the biggest telling thing about this whole Six Nations is how they're going to perform when they go back to their provinces. So when you see Johnny Sexton run out in the quarterfinal in the Aviva in a couple of weeks' time, how he performs, that's going to be a real telling thing. How, you know, how Murray plays in Edinburgh, you know, that these key guys, how Sean O'Brien plays, Rob Kearney, when they go back to their provinces, you know, and they play Bundiaki. You know, Bundiaki's had a very, very, you know, he hasn't played well, and he's a cornerstone of go forward for the team.
Has Bundiaki not played well, or has he just done what Joe Schmidt asked him to do?
But you see, that's the million-dollar question. We're never going to be able to answer that fully, because we're not privy to the conversations. We're not privy to those Monday morning meetings. You're not going to be able to know. Mm. The likelihood is he's doing what is asked of him, and he's probably not. You know, it's very interesting. You hear what in Jack Carty, you know, after he did an interview, and he essentially, you know, he essentially criticised Pat Lam and the system in his 2-4-2, that it was all very much play, 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 and we attack from everywhere. But then he complimented Andy Friend, because he said Andy Friend has given me the license to kick to the space that I see, and we're playing a bit more structured. So there is someone that has flourished in a more of a structured way than when Pat Lam was there. So, you know, it is, you know, different horses for different courses at times, but there does need to be a shift. I would agree with Dunner in the sense that there needs to be a shift in how we play. And for me, how we play those first three phases, we need to be more creative there. And then outside of that, I would like the team to play a more off 10. You know, that's a personal point of view. I would like to see that. It gives you more options. And especially against a blitz defence when teams are coming hard, like they are against Ireland, if it's only two, it's only one extra pass, you play into the middle of the field, you play off 10, and you get go forward. It's very hard to bring line speed off 10. You know, like I've played 2-4-2, because if you get go forward off 10, they've come up so far, so you're giving them an opportunity to come up a bit further. You get go forward there, they have to retreat back to then go forward again.
Okay.
So if you get quick ball off 10, it's very hard to have repeated line speed.
Joe Schmidt's currently in his press conference. We might hopefully get you some of that before the end of the show. He's been saying that maybe it was a mistake to not have the roof closed at the Millennium Stadium. Said that some of the players had a bug during the week, that a 6-day turnaround in the Six Nations isn't an ideal scenario, and that he felt actually the England performance was much more disappointing than the performance today.
The one thing I will say about the England performance, and we were speaking about this off air, Nathan, is that I've been a part of a team when we lost to Ulster in the 2012 in Thomond Park in the quarterfinal, where we had a home semi-final if we'd won, and we got beaten really badly that day. After that, it was like, I can't wait for the season to be over. And it was very much, it knocked us back so much from a confidence perspective that we struggled to get any kind of form for the last 2 months of the season. And I think we were probably second or third around that time of the quarterfinal. We ended up scraping into the top four. We went to the Ospreys away from home and we got badly beaten in the semi-final. But then when the season was over, it was like, oh, okay, it was Tony McGann's last year as well. It was like, okay, that's over. Shake off it and let's go again. And I think,
would you have a concern that actually when we talk about Leinster Ulster in a fortnight's time, that some of these players now will just want the summer to come and get to reset for a World Cup year?
What I'm trying to say is I think that is a sense of Ireland. I think that they want, subconsciously, I'm not saying this is, I'm just saying that there is a chance that this could have happened by such a knock. Like that was, like no one saw that coming. That was a massive dent to their confidence. Mm. And I don't think anyone can underestimate how much that affected them. That subconsciously you're like, okay, I'm trying really hard, I'm going to make a difference today, but there might be a small bit of a sigh of relief that, okay, Six Nations over, let's concentrate now on where we can go with our provinces, and then let's hit the ground running when we get back in the 1st of July.
A lot of people getting in touch with us this afternoon on 53106. Gatland does not have to motivate the Welsh players when they play Ireland. They know the way he was unfairly treated by the IRFU when he was offloaded by them going into a major tournament. Let Schmidt go now, as things can only get worse. He's been found out. We've no plan B. Schmidt has made our players soft. Stick to the plan at all costs. Keep penalty count down at all costs. And even let them back home know if this was the soccer team, the public would demand that the manager goes. I don't think that the IRFU are going to be getting rid of Joe Schmidt between now and the World Cup somehow. Lads, I'm sick to the teeth of everyone's refusal to put any blame on Johnny Sexton. Even Andy tried to switch the blame onto Ireland's lack of creativity when he started talking about Sexton's game. He was a disgrace today in his performance, and in truth, he's had a very bad Six Nations. His carry-on, been taken off against Italy, was disgraceful, and even today when he passed the ball over the line, started to give out to Gary Ringrose as if it was his fault. Sick of the media blowing smoke up his ass every game he plays.
He hasn't had a good Six Nations. That's been very clear. He hasn't.
Tell that listener to sit on the fence.
Joe Schmidt was asked about maybe his insistence on giving Murray and Sexton so much time in each game, and he gave the obvious enough answer of saying, well, you have to invest in these guys. You're trying to get them back to a level. They can only do that if they're on the pitch, is the way that Schmidt is looking at it.
The best way to invest in those guys is stop telling them what to do on all occasions. The best way to invest in them is to say, go out and do what you feel like is right, what's in front of you, on more occasions than I'm giving you license to currently.
But it's just on that then, right? Johnny Sexton, as you say, is the World Player of the Year, who knows Joe Schmidt inside out and played some of his most creative rugby under Joe Schmidt. Surely at, 33, Johnny Sexton is in a position to have that conversation with Joe Schmidt.
He played that creative rugby in a system. You can't not have a system Otherwise, you end up like France. But where I'm people not just suggesting. Do whatever they want.
Oh, hold on, Johnny. I'm not suggesting we don't have a system. I'm not suggesting players are all going and throw paint all over a canvas. It's not the Harlem Globetrotters. I'm just saying that we need to roll down the dial on the control levels for multiple phases of play on the field, pre-plan multiple phases of play. We've got a brilliant example in professional sport right in front of our eyes from this season, watching Manchester United, much as it hurts me to say this, go from an apparently appalling team overnight to a brilliant creative team, with the crowds turning back to Old Trafford and saying, we've got our United back, we're playing like we did under Fergie. Because the coach who's come in has not been restrictive and has empowered guys, and overnight they've changed. They didn't change any personnel. He's just tapped into the brilliance that he has working with them, as opposed to trying to control every facet of their play, which Mourinho is doing. And I think if Schmidt does that, we will see an entirely different process, an entirely different form of play. And I'm not saying throw out the rules and abandon structure. I'm saying just dial it back a bit. And that there's absolute value in structure and planning and strategy. I get that. But we've gone fundamentally too far in the other direction. And I think we just need to empower guys a bit more. There are multiple world-class players in our squad. I'm not afraid to criticise Sexton. I've never been afraid to criticise him or Murray or anyone else, but I actually just feel sorry for them today, because I know that's so substandard to what they're capable of. Something else explains it to me. It's not that he just had a bad off day. To me, I think we've got to be measured in our criticism when we're being successful and when we beat the All Blacks and we are constructively critical at times. And the same way we've had an apparently horror show, Six Nations, we've got to be measured in the criticism there. And we haven't become god-awful in 2 months. So there are small changes, but I actually think it's going to be difficult. But I mean, you know, I don't make the bed when I get up in the morning. I haven't been able to change that in 39 years. So if Joe Schmidt always wants to control his teams, it's going to be very hard for him to change that. But it is that simple a change, to empower and allow the guys on his team to be a bit more creative, but working under the system he provides.
Andy Dunn and a Joe Schmidt setup would have been something to behold. We're going to have to wrap up, lads, because we probably dragged the arse out of it at this stage, but there is still so many more texts in, and we haven't really got into the individual breakdowns of performances today or the Six Nations as a whole. As you said, Andy, like, we're going to talk to you lots over the coming months. Part of the problem with this is it's going to be the longest, most drawn out post-mortem. Yeah. And really, we're not going to know till even a World Cup quarter-final.
Yeah, unfortunately. I'm tired of talking about it already, and it's only 6 o'clock, so it's going to be a long couple of months.
Is that actually the one real hope here for Joe Schmidt? That, like, Scotland have just scored a breakaway try, but they're 31-5 down after 35 minutes against England. That between the 4 warm-up games and a relatively, I'm not going to say simple pool, but a pool that Ireland should be winning, you could go on a run between now and a World Cup quarterfinal where you've built back up all that momentum.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think it's entirely feasible that, given he's to be applauded for the strength and depth and personnel that he's developed since the last World Cup. He's to be applauded for beating the All Blacks twice, winning a Grand Slam, winning a tour in Australia for the first time in 30 years. He's without doubt one of our greatest ever coaches, and he's certainly got within his command, he can change how we are currently playing.
Yeah.
And I think he can do it by being a little more flexible. And if that's a personality thing, or whether that's a control thing, or whether that's just allowing other people have more input at times, it's entirely achievable to get out of this slump with the playing group and the coaching staff that we have. But we won't change it by going back to try and do the same thing again with greater degrees of execution.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.